Good morning, New Covenant. This is Jeff Trask, adjunct pastor. I am honored, as always, to present the teaching for today. Want to jump right in. I have a lot I want to cover. But let's start off with just time for prayer and grounding. There's so much going on. It could be crazy making. I think it's just good to just kind of start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all your tremendous blessings for us. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a world where we feel like things are out of control and we don't have any way to change it. But Father, we know that ultimately it's not our battle, it's yours. And Lord, so we ask that we come to you, help us learn, educate our hearts and our minds and souls so that we can do the things that we need to do, be your hands and feet, to try to make this world a better place, despite all the chaos and craziness. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you will touch our hearts and open us up for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my first slide shows a picture of the grandkids at a moment at a church where in St. Louis. Probably the only moment they were probably sitting still. So we got a quick picture of them. But I just thought about this idea of grounding ourselves and being ready for our church service. So quick updates. Thankfully, I can share that the Champaign County Christian Health Center, after being nomads for many years, we've had our own place for about 3 years, but I'm glad to report that due to some grants primarily from Representative Carol Ammons and also from Paul Farachi, that we're able to pay off our building at 1401 South State Street. So it's officially ours, and we do not have to move anywhere else. We've been a salt and light to two different public health buildings, a dental circle building, OSF, and churches and satellites, and I moved more clinic chairs than I care to remember, and now that is no more, and we have a place in perpetuity. They praise God for that. In addition to that, these grants also are paying for a second location for us to build in Urbana, 1711 South Philo. Right now it's a parking lot between McDonald's and Walgreens, but we do hope to be able to not just provide primary care and dental care, mental health care there, but also have a focus on prevention and health education. If you follow along with the slides, you see the next slide after that is what my dream clinic would look like if I could get some more money. We're very grateful and happy about what we have going on there. Another quick update, a lot of Martin Luther King events this past month, and I did get the honor to, or had the honor to receive a couple different awards, a humanitarian award from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Advocacy for Justice Committee, and also MLK Champions Award from the University of Illinois. We had both events were very fun to be a part of. Besides getting the award, being honored, one of the cool things is people being able to hear about the health center and reparations and things that I'm doing, and so they can raise awareness of those things. Another cool part is that a representative, Justin Pearson, who was the state rep in Tennessee, now running for a federal representative spot, was a keynote speaker, very gifted, may be a president one day. So it was nice to be able to meet him. And last I'll mention before I jump into the teaching is that, as we know, February is Black History Month, and I would encourage each and every one of you to learn something new about African-American history. And of course, it should be every month, but since we didn't have any months before, we had to at least get one. And so encourage you any way you can to learn more about African-American history. It's an endless amount of information to learn, of course. I've been immersed with so many of these things, and I still learn something new every day. I did show a clip of what is the African American History Museum in Washington, D.C. I did get a chance to go there a few years ago. A fantastic place to go. I spent most of my time just in the basement. It has several floors. You start in the basement with in slavery, and you move up to where you're at the top floor. You kind of end with President Obama. That's about the time when I went. So I'm sure it's even updated more now, but great place to learn about African-American history in this country. So strongly encourage that, but there's also other places you can go and other things you can do to learn about African-American history as well. So with all that said, I'd like to jump into the teaching. The title is Realization, Resistance, and Repair. It's basically kind of using the story of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles as a model for godly action amidst chaos. Godly action amidst chaos. So we're going to start with realization. And I'm going to kind of parallel the story of King Jehoshaphat with some of our issues that we're dealing with in our society today. Just to briefly talk about the story of King Jehoshaphat. They had these different armies that was coming to take out the Israelites. These armies were made up of mostly kin. The Moabites and the Ammonites were both the descendants of Lot, nephew of Abraham. So these folks actually were all under the same, cloth, so you can say at some point in time. But things changed, and things changed into a point where now these armies were coming to take out the Israelites. And they go back. There's a lot of history between particularly the Moabites and Israelites. King Saul fought against them. David was protected by them, but then later he fought against them as well. And just they have a long history going back and forth. And so what I like to do is kind of think through this idea of these armies coming to take out Israel as those who do not want to see justice in this world, those who do things that are unjust and are literally fighting to stay in a world where we have this injustice going on in perpetuity. And the Israelites in this case will be those who are fighting for justice, no matter who you are. If you are willing to be sacrificial and try to do what you can to fight for justice and resist the craziness, that parallel will be the Israelites here in this particular teaching. And so just like the Moabites and the Israelites that came from the same cloth, the reality is that all humans kind of came from the same cloth. If you look at history, everybody came from Africa. Any scientist will tell you that. There's very interesting things about, migration of various species of humans and Neanderthals and Homo sapiens and so on and so forth. I won't get into that, but just kind of know in general, just like the Moabites and Israelites that came from the same kin, ultimately, so have we. And just like the Moabites and Israelites, that eventually some things happen where they were opposing each other to the point where they want to fight each other to the death. We find ourselves in a similar situation that although we're all human beings, our DNA is pretty much the same. Matter of fact, if you look at skin color, it's DNA wise, it's far less than 0.1% that dictates our skin color. So regardless of the fact that we're all human and it has this tiny, tiny DNA difference of skin color, this has basically been the core function for a lot of the injustice that we see around the world. And if you don't believe me today about skin color being a factor, I'm showing a slide of those who had voted for Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. And not to be too political, but one thing I want to highlight is that African Americans, as you can see on the chart, which is already a pretty small sliver of the population, overwhelmingly went for Harris. And it wasn't just because Harris was African-American woman. It was also because Donald Trump has shown to do very racist things. And most African-Americans obviously wouldn't want a racist president. And I also wonder, like, when people don't notice things like that, where, I wonder why 86% of black folks don't support Trump. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe it's something I should look into. But apparently that didn't happen. I do also want to briefly mention there was a decent amount of discussion about African-Americans who may not vote for Kamala Harris, particularly African-American men, even to a point where President Obama was kind of scolding black men for not voting for Harris. But that is a very kind of misguided type of thinking when it comes to the overwhelming numbers of people who voted for Kamala Harris, given the fact that African-American men only make up 6% of the population. And even then, the vast majority of them still voted for Harris. Having stories on CNN, like I saw, talking about black men not voting for Harris, as if that was somehow the blame for where we are now, is pretty ridiculous. And if you look at the chart, you can easily see how Donald Trump won his seat there. And I won't go into, again, the numbers and details, but it's pretty apparent. So going back to King Jehoshaphat. One of the first things that they had to deal with was actually realizing that this army was coming. Sometimes we don't know that we're in the battle. Sometimes we don't realize that we're in the battle. We're kind of like in a boxing ring and we don't know where we are. And we're getting punched left and right and we're not punching back because we don't even know we're in the fight. And so one of the things they had to first realize that, yeah, these armies are coming and they're coming to try to take you out. And what's, one of the first things to note about King Jehoshaphat's reaction is that the first thing they did once they did find out what was going on was go to the Lord. How often do we come up against these incredible stressors in our lives and we try to figure it out on our own? And, you know, we almost kind of come to the Lord when it gets to a point where we can't take any longer, as opposed to coming to the Lord right away with it. And so that's a good first lesson that we can pick up from King Jehoshaphat and their reaction. And so they did solicit the Lord. They did come to him in prayer and they gathered people together and was basically crying out to the Lord in their distress, asking the Lord to hear them and to save them. And again, we should make sure we're doing the same thing. We are in a fight. We are in a battle against good versus evil and so on and so forth. And we should be soliciting God for help, for saving this world, saving us individually, saving us as a church, saving us as a community, as a nation, and so on and so forth. And so that's a good first lesson. Second part of that realization piece is understanding that we do not have the power within ourselves. One of the things that King Jehoshaphat's and their people said is that, for we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's another key thing, is to understand that, it's okay to sometimes feel helpless and hopeless, because it is sometimes very discouraging. But again, we have to remember where our help comes from, where our source of power comes from. And the one who has all power. When we remember that part of it, and then we can accomplish anything. And I want to mention real quickly too, like, sometimes it just is a matter of changing our perspective, or changing our mindset, or changing our focus. I'll give you a quick example. We are having the celebration of the Super Bowl on Sunday, and or today, if you're depending on when you're listening to this. And the reality is that I looked, did some homework, and found out that we spend as a country $20 billion on the Super Bowl, $20 billion for one day, one game. And I was just thinking about, like, what if we change our focus just on the Super Bowl and decided that just one year we would just dedicate that $20 billion to go towards other things. And so I did a little, research and digging and used some ChatGPT and found out that $20 billion could pay for 133,333 homes for the homeless. Permanent $150,000 homes for 133,333 people who might be houseless today. It could also pay for 1.67 million students to have a full ride at the average public university. 1.67 million students with $20 billion can go to university full ride for 4 years. And this is one that really blew me away. You know, we have about 771,000 homeless or houseless people in America, those that we can actually, we have actually tracked. I'm sure there's many more than that. But among those 771,000 houseless people we have in this country, $20 billion will provide enough meals for each of them to have 3 square meals a day for 4.7 years. 771,000 people can have 3 square meals a day for 4.7 years. With the $20 billion that we spend on the Super Bowl. So just kind of let that hit you and realize that although things seem to be overwhelming, we may be able to change our focus, change our perspective, change our paradigms, and make things more possible than what we think they are. Because one of the things I hear about in the reparations world all the time is that, we don't have the money, we don't have the resources to do reparations. Well, no, we do. And so going on with King Jehoshaphat, in terms of facing the armies, the Lord tells him, hey, y'all, don't be afraid. And this is what really gets me. The Lord tells him, don't even be discouraged. I mean, these armies are coming to take him out. They're massively outnumbered and they have no chance of winning in any kind of normal situation. And they're told not to be afraid. And don't even be discouraged about it. I mean, that's a challenge there. And so, again, the Lord tells him those kind of things. And then he also says you need to act. You need to go out there. You need to get together, get organized, get your praise band together in the front lines and go out there and meet these armies. Right. Don't just sit at home, panic and fret. I want you to be active. And so they go and do it. And I think about this part of resistance. You know, we got realization where we got to realize the fight that we're in. And then once we realize we're in the fight, we have to resist. We can't just sit at home, panic, be discouraged, be afraid, but we have to act. And I want to give one example. I know it's Black History Month and it's important to highlight Black people, but I have to highlight this white individual because of the amazing things I've read about him. His name is Levi Coffin. And he spent years and years harboring, quote unquote, fugitives, you know, enslaved Black folks who escaped at his home over a number of years. On average, had about 100 fugitives a year come through his house and establishments. But he didn't just do that. He also taught enslaved people to read. He employed free Blacks in preference to whites. As a quote, as he says, because I knew that they were often unjustly refused and neglected. It was actually sound like the first effective affirmative action there. He also employed and allowed employment, allowed his employees to buy their enslaved relatives through their employment. He opened up a warehouse that sold goods made exclusively by free non-enslaved labor. He established an orphanage for African-American children. He assisted with the collection of food for distribution to formerly enslaved people in the North. Post-war, he helped recently free people get educated and establish their own businesses. He also lobbied the federal government to create the Freedmen's Bureau and raise funds for the Western Freedmen's Aid Society, a group that created hundreds of schools for free people in the South. I mean, the resume behind this guy is amazing. And if there's any, you know, resistance to be noted there as among white people in that time, he's definitely the prime example of that. You know, so we don't just sit at home. We don't be afraid. We don't be discouraged. We go and meet the armies. And Levi Coffin certainly did that. In my slides, you'll see a clip of the movie Malcolm X, where he takes his guys along with a crowd that's pretty rowdy about seeing justice for this Black American who was arrested and beaten. And they didn't sit at home, but they went and met the police and then made sure that this person that was falsely arrested and beaten was taken care of. And that's just another tiny example. And a last example I'll give for this part is U of I. There's a clip, slide of U of I's students protesting last Friday. About 1,000 students walked out of campus in protest of what was going on with ICE and so on and so forth. And later that day, that afternoon, I participated in a similar protest in Urbana. We had about a couple hundred people at the courthouse, again, protesting ICE. You know, so again, we can resist actively. And then shout out to Dave Anita Jackson, who I saw participate in one of the earlier ones when it was actually even colder outside when I was out there and they were interviewed about them being out there and protesting. So kudos to them. Also, when it comes to meeting these armies, if you look at these different examples, there's some characteristics that go along with going out and meeting armies and showing that resistance. Justice is passionate. Justice is active. Justice is willing to fight for fairness. Justice faces adversity despite the fear you may be experiencing. And justice looks after those treated unjustly, like the Samaritan story. Again, so moving on with King Jehoshaphat, they worship the Lord after they got word from the Lord saying, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, and go meet them. And they immediately started worshiping more because they had their answer. They had their solution. They heard the word and they didn't, you know, say, oh, God, are you sure about that? But they actually faithfully did what the Lord told them to do. And they even gave thanks to the Lord. Keep in mind, they gave thanks to the Lord before the armies were stopped. You know, the God gave them their word and they actually were thankful and praised God basically because they felt like, oh, we're good now. And so we keep that in mind too. Like even if we don't see the evil stopped, we can praise God as though we already have the victory. And that's what the people of Israel and King Jehoshaphat did. And so that moves us on to repair. Realization, resistance, and now repair. And one of the cool things about the story with King Jehoshaphat is that they did go meet the armies. By the time they got there, you know, everyone had basically killed themselves based on what the Lord did. They took out the Menuhites, who were kind of the outskirt group. And then after they were gone, the Moabites and Ammonites fight each other. And there was like nobody left. And so by the time the Israelites got there, all they saw was a bunch of dead soldiers and a whole bunch of plunder for them to take. In matter of fact, there's so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect it all. And so there is a a benefit to being faithful to the Lord and doing as we're called to do. And I think I truly believe that we will see some plunder when we are following through with what the Lord is instructing us to do. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." You know, our plunder in this current time may look more like a growing movement in this country to address its white supremacy, as many believe that initially that it didn't exist before in mass, and now we know it does. If you look at the slides, you'll see a picture of a group of us that is at the National Symposium for State and Local Leaders for Reparations. We had a great symposium last December and a great group of people from Champaign-Urbana that joined us, including Rep. Ammons and County Clerk Aaron Ammons. And we just had a good time, and we're all encouraged seeing the movement happen. And just as a reminder, when I talk about reparations, again, this is not just for Black people. There's a quote by Justin Merrick, who's in this great book I've been reading. He says, it's kind of speaking to the authors to speak to others, particularly in this case to white Christians, trying to provoke them to have desire to do reparations. He says, "Tell them that reparations is ultimately redeeming for everyone. Both those who give and those who receive is an opportunity for all of us to finally be healed." I showed the side of my grandson, Amari, went to the St. Louis Aquarium, and it was just fascinating to see his wonder. And I think about how we should let ourselves have that same idea of discovery and wonder, new ways of thinking, exploring different possibilities, and just think about all the different ways God can redeem our unjust practices, all the injustice and unjust practices we see. How if we can really wonder and really be engaged what the Lord is doing, how things may be a lot different than what we think they can be. And when we do that, last slide is both the grandkids, one of my favorite pictures. You can not have anything but joy looking at this slide. And I don't know what heaven is exactly like, but I can imagine this is the kind of joy that exists there. So while we may never perfectly kind of get there in this world, it can actually be very fun, exciting, trying to get there in this world until the next world to come. So then that we can ultimately celebrate resembling God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And with that said, I want to close in prayer, remembering that ultimately that Jesus died for us so that all these things I'm talking about could be accomplished. The battle isn't ours. We should not be afraid or even discouraged. We should be able to do our part, be the hands and feet of Jesus, go meet those armies, go meet that injustice, be active, show that resistance, and be willing to just try to do what we can and be sacrificial in making this world a better place. So with that said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again come to you with thanksgiving, come to you with a hope that this world, as crazy as it is and chaotic as it can be, is actually redeemable, and we can be part of making that happen. Father, we ask for that same courage that the children of Israel and King Jehoshaphat had when they had their faith in you, despite the fact that these armies were still on their way. We ask so that we can celebrate and we can praise you and worship you, even in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of the chaos, knowing that the battle isn't ours, but it's yours. And Father, we just thank you so much. And we ask, Lord, that even if it's, little tiny wins and victories or big victories, that we can be grateful for them and we can keep pressing for more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.